ॐ सहनावतो सहनाभुनक्तो सहवीर्यं करवामहे तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् सो अर्जुन आस्क कृष्ण अबाउट द डेफिनेशन ऑफ अ ज्ञानी ज्ञानिनः लक्षणम् the lifestyle of a jnani. Even though the question was asked only about the definition of a jnani, Krishna gave answer in two forms. Two forms means what? Two answers he gave for his one question. He asked for sthita pragya lakshanam. Sthita pragya lakshanam. Sthita pragya means who? Sthita prajna yasya saha sthita prajna. One whose vision, knowledge is firm and steadfast is sthita prajna. One who has assimilated his vision is sthita prajna. So to become a sthita prajna, first one has to become a prajna. Prajna means consciousness. Prajna also means knowledge. So for first, one who has prajna is a prajna. One who has knowledge is a prajnani, isn't it? Prajna. And how one can become prajna? By studying the shastram. How should he study? With the help of the teacher. Who knows the sampradaya? Who knows the traditional teaching methodology. So by studying Shastram, how should one study regularly, systematically, studying the Shastram with the help of the teacher for length of time, which implies on having done Shravanam, and repeated Shravanam itself will become Mananam, wherein one can resolve all the queries and doubts one has. That is why during Shravanam, queries might arise, doubts might arise. You have to be patient enough to keep aside the doubts and queries and re-listen. Punashravanam will help one as Mananam, to resolve one's doubts and queries. So through Shravanam and Mananam, by doing Shravanam and Mananam with the help of the teacher, definitely one has doubt-free knowledge, which is called prajna. So one who has that prajna is a prajna. He has got the knowledge, but still he has to have that vision ascertained, assimilated, and for which one needs to be contemplative. So later on, after Shravanam and Mananam, having understood the subject matter of the Shastram, having understood the understood what Atma is, what Brahman is, how Atma is Brahman, Atma and Brahman are not two different things, how everything is Mithya and Brahman is Satyam, these things will be very clear. But what has been understood clearly, doubtlessly, has to be contemplated upon and assimilated and ascertained. In fact, for the contemplation, all that one needs do is, one has to relive the Shravanam and Mananam. Reliving Shravanam itself becomes what? Nididhyasanam. So, this will help one have ascertained vision, which is called, then one becomes a prajnaha, becomes a sthita prajnaha. Understand now, the same thing who came across in Bhagavad, there also in Upanishad. Without having become a prajna, one cannot become a sthita prajna. Isn't it? So you know one of who is a pragyaha, who is Siddha Pragyaha. And Siddha Pragyaha is the jnani. Pragyaha also is a jnani. I'm not saying no. But still jnani means how to know whether he is not just ascertained or not. When a person is not affected by situations after having gained jnanam, then he is a Siddha Pragyaha. Even after having gained the jnanam also, still one is subject to get afflicted by situations and problems and things. Means, this, we can't say Shastam has not worked. No, because he has yet to allow the Shastram to work on him. That means what? He has yet to assimilate it. That vision. That is why Shravana means one has to be again and again be with the subject matter, which is contemplation. It will help. And we saw who is Siddha Pragyaha. Siddha Pragyaha is the one who is now one who has discovered the Sarupa of the Atma. Sarupa of the Atma, one who has discovered the nature of the reality of the whole Jagat being fullness, limitlessness. And how does he discover this nature of the reality being fullness? By discovering the very reality. How does he discover the reality? Discovers the reality as the truth of his reality of his own mind. How does he discover the reality of his own truth of his own mind? As the content, as the substance, as the meaning of the word I, the first person singular pronoun. Understand? So thereby he discovers it, he understands it, he retains it, he dwells upon it, he ascertains it. And thereby, by discovering the self, discovering fullness, he becomes, when he assimilates this vision, gets this vision assimilated, then he revels in fullness, means he completely becomes independent of external situations, people or things or anything for his happiness. Therefore he revels in himself, revels in self. Ramaha, Atma Ramaha. He is called Atma. Atma Ratihi means Atma Ramaha. He is really man of satisfaction, man of accomplishment, man of fulfillment, man of happiness, really. Nothing afflicts him. And such a person, just he is even free from Agami and Sanchitam. Because he is free from actually... Relatively, he has identity with the body mansions complex. Absolutely, he is free from identity with anything. He is Brahman, Swayam Brahman. And such a person, he is free from Agami and Sanchitam. And he lives his Prarabdha unafflictedly. And when this person leaves the physical body, also, body becomes disintegrated, his sukshma resolves for good, because mind is free from desires, mind is free from needs, mind is free from insecurity, mind is free from fear, mind is free from all the smallness written on I, mind is free from all problems, because mind is free from ignorance. Therefore, that enlightened mind which revels in fullness with God, which abides in its Swarupam, reality, such a mind, when the Parabdha gets over, mind resolves for good. Thereby, Svanti Sukshma resolves. Thereby, this Parabdha also is free from Parabdha also. Therefore, being free from Sanchitam, Agami, while living, after the fall of the physical body, being free from Parabdha also, this person is free, completely free from any karma. Therefore, he doesn't need to assume another body. The sukshma resolves. Therefore, punaragamanam kutaha. Therefore, he is free for good. He attains videha muktihi. This is a jnani. But In this verses from 56 onwards till 72nd, even though Arjuna asks only about the definition of a jnani, Krishna not only gives this sita prajna lakshanam, he also gives sita prajna sadhanam, the means of becoming a sita prajna. Also he is talking about. He defines sita prajna. First, initially he talks about sita prajna lakshanam, definition of a jnani, who the jnani is, how he lives, how he is. And as part of it, he also talks about sita prajna sadhanam. Sita prajna bhavitum kim sadhanam asti. What is the means of becoming a sita prajna? And there we saw how important it is for one to have shamaha damaha. Shamaha damaha are very, very important for one. You know, thereby one can become, you know, even having accomplished, so having done shravanam and mananam and having this shamaha damaha are there, then definitely one can have this vision, ascertained vision, one can be contemplative, thereby one can become sita prajna. So that he discussed in many verses. Isn't it? If we don't have mastery over mind or mastery over senses, then definitely pranasha is unavoidable. He explained all those things. And we have, so having discussed the sita prajna lakshanam and sita prajna sadhanam, and we are at the last verse, aren't we? Apuryamanam achala. Okay, we'll do the previous verse also. What is the verse? Just tell me what's the verse. No, I don't. No, the previous verse.
70.
I finished that? Apuryamanam finished? Okay. Apuryamanam achala pratishtham. Apuryamanamachalapratishtham samudramapah pravishanti yadvat. Samudramapah pravishanti yadvat. Samudramapah pravishanti yadvat.
Samudramapah
pravishanti yadvat. Tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve. Tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve. Sashanti mapnoti na kama kami.
Sashanti mapnoti
na kama kami. Vihaya kamanya sarvan. Vihaya kamanya sarvan. Pumamscharati nispruhaha. Pumamscharati nispruhaha. Nirmamo nirahankaraha. Nirmamo nirahankaraha. Sashanti madhi gacchati. Sashanti madhi gacchati. Actually here in this context I told you one thing. Saha shantim adhi gacchati. Saha gacchati. He attains. Gacchati means goes, reaches, attains. And adhi gacchati. He attains. Adhigachati also means understands. You know that. Saha shantim adhigachati. He discovers peace, thereby he attains peace. In fact, peace is equal to absence of turbulence. What is peace? Now when you say silence is equal to absence of noise. Isn't it? Absence of noise is equal to silence. Similarly, absence of turbulence is equal to what? Peace. Absence of restlessness is peace. Absence of agitation is peace. If there are waves, absence of stillness. Isn't it? If there is stillness of water, we say absence of waves. In fact, resolution of waves, waves being resolved, waves remaining resolved is equal to stillness. Look at this. We don't even say absence, okay? I'm always very careful in Shastra Patham. Absence means something, we have pushed it somewhere or what? You know? So, having the waves resolved is equal to what? Stillness. Krishna. Similarly, having the thoughts resolved is what? Again, stillness, silence. Having the thoughts resolved is, in fact, peace. How do you resolve? In sleep, every day we resolve, the thoughts are resolved. This is not, at least not a sleep. So naturally, thoughts resolve by themselves every day as part of the function of the mind. That is sleep. Then we have thoughts resolved. That is why you have sukham. Temporary sukham. You're very peaceful in sleep. In sleep also, I'm not peaceful if you say there's no sleep. Understand? But here, without having the thoughts resolved, I mean, like in sleep, just by understanding the truth of the, if suppose all the waves are resolved, look at this, the waves which arise are resolved, and you can say stillness of water. That is one way of the waves remaining resolved in water. And even if without, even if the waves are there, still if you know, oh, all the waves are nothing but water if you know, without having resolved the waves physically, you still, the waves are as good as resolved by knowing the truth of the waves. Understand now? So this is called two ways of resolving. Really having the waves resolved, just having the stillness of water is also what? Have resolution of the waves. But without having physically resolved the waves, but by knowing the truth of the waves being water and saying, oh, all the waves are water, nothing but water, when you say, understand, still, even if you see the waves, still the waves are resolved. Another way of resolving, isn't it? But here, the thoughts are resolved means what? Having the thoughts resolved means not physically undoing the thoughts or dropping the thoughts, or we cannot undo or drop the thoughts also here. Understand now? Having the thoughts resolved means by discovering the truth of the thoughts, by discovering the truth of the I thought, thereby discovering the truth of the all the thoughts, the entire mind, having the mind resolved in the reality. Its reality is what? Having the thoughts resolved. Understand now? It is resolution. And having thoughts resolved is in fact mind being peaceful. So clear now. Such shantihi, shantim, a person adhigachyati. That means naturally, look at this, naturally the thoughts, too many thoughts do not arise for a jnani. See, the more the person has pressure, look at this. The person, the more inner pressure is there, the more thoughts arise. When do the thoughts arise? The more inner pressure is, the inner pressure means the mental pressure is there, more thoughts will arise. The jnani is a free from all pressures. Therefore, thoughts, more thoughts naturally will not arise. There will be some thoughts. Non-disturbing, non-binding thoughts will be there. But still jnani, he is peaceful. Man's mind is peaceful mind. Isn't it? Why the pressure is not there? Because the sense of inadequacy is not there. The sense of small, the problem of smallness being centered on I is not there. The needs are not there. The dependence is not there. Insecurity is not there. Fear is not there. Nothing is there. So there's nothing which can cause any pressure. See, all these pressures caused by jealousy, hatred, you know, all these problems are there only if there is sense of insecurity. See, as long as there is sense of insecurity, as long as there is fear of death, sense of insecurity, How long there will be sense of insecurity? The insecurity is very, very important thing. Actually, every mind, if the mind is free from sense of insecurity, then that mind is completely free from all other, all other problems. Insecurity is not there, everything is gone. How long will there be insecurity? As long as the problem of smallness being centered on I is there, there'll be insecurity. When does this problem of smallness being centered on I is get resolved? When the identity from body, mind and complex is shifted. When? In discovering the reality. When this meaning of the word I is discovered, when the I shines from the body, mind and senses, identity from body, mind and complex is resolved, then one becomes free from sense of being small, thereby, understand now, one becomes free from insecurity. The sense of being insecure. The sense of insecurity is not real insecurity. Consciousness doesn't have any insecurity. Understand now. Insecurity again is a notion. There's a thought. The sense of insecurity. There is a sense of insecurity. Everything is just a notion. Because who has mind by itself cannot have insecurity. Jadam. Understand. What is mind? Where is insecurity? Boy doesn't have any insecurity. Jadam. Boy doesn't have insecurity. Sense powers do not have any insecurity. Who has insecurity? Does consciousness have insecurity? No. Conscious, pure consciousness, the meaning of the word I does not have any insecurity. Consciousness doesn't have any problem. And who has this insecurity? But we say, I have. I am insecure. Understand, in fact, insecurity is again a state of mind. That is why it's a sense of insecurity. If you know what is the truth of this insecurity, then insecurity also will resolve. That is why the insecure one becomes free from sense of insecurity. If you really ask who has insecurity of the whole individual, all these things, it's like asking, you can say car has steering. Can you say car has steering? We do say that. Car has steering. Car doesn't have steering. Steering is part of the car which forms the whole, isn't it? Have you ever thought that like that? We say car has four wheels. Look at this. This is our expression. Car has four wheels. Car has steering. Car has seats, front seat and back seat. Car has four doors. We always say this. Really speaking, it's wrong to say that. No way. Its expression is okay, car has four wheels, we say. In fact, we can't say car has four wheels. Understand? No way. Because four wheels form part of the car, the whole vehicle. Isn't it? Similarly, what about fear, insecurity? When you say, I have, it's like saying car has four wheels. It's very much right expression-wise. But if you really analyze the sentence, it is wrong to say that. Car means the car is not without wheels. You can't say car has four wheels. Really speaking. Because wheels are part of the car, the whole. Similarly, I have fear, I have insecurity, I am insecure, I have desire, I have anger, I have jealousy, I have hatred means, in fact, what you have. Understand, they are all part of the whole individual. And what is the truth of the whole individual? If you see, the truth of the whole individual is awareness. Does awareness have anything? No. Awareness doesn't have anything. Everything is awareness. The whole individual is awareness. Isn't it? Like that, when you discover the truth of I, then you resolve the identity, wrong identity, you have the right identity, then naturally one resolves this problem of smallness being centered on I, thereby the insecure, the sense of insecurity, a state of mind also is resolved. Understand? Then there is fearlessness. Where there is no insecurity, there cannot be any other thought. What thought? The sense of being smallness is not there, inadequacy is not there, needs are not there, desires are not there. So desire, caste, jealousy, hatred, greed, etc., all thoughts are not there. The desire naturally does not arise for a jnani. If at all some desires arise, the non-binding desires, because some in keeping with the order, as part of function of mental order, desires may arise, and objectively, you know, with objectivity, without having any subjectivity, and the jnani may fulfill those desires for loka sangrahartam, for the well-being of society and people around. There is no doership and there is no enjoyership. Understand? So, the jnani is free from all those turbulence. The first, shantim adhigacchati. Understand? Shantim adhigacchati. And for this shanti, for all the turbulence to have been resolved, there must be what? Discovery of fullness, which is happiness. So discovery of the self is the discovery of the meaning of the word I, the assimilated vision of the meaning of the word I is the assimilated, ascertained vision of the truth of the whole universe. Okay? The assimilated, ascertained vision of the truth of the whole universe is what? Discovery of fullness and reveling in fullness. Reveling in fullness is reveling in happiness. Reveling in happiness is what? In fact, being, having all the turbulence resolved. Therefore, happiness without discovering fullness, there is no peace. I want to be peaceful than to discover. No. You discover fullness, then there will be peace. Before discovering fullness, one has to be peace, quite calm. That is relative peace. The absolute peace is only in discovering fullness. So, shamaha, dhamaha, and this upasanam, meditation, all those things help you to have relative peace. Mind is relatively relaxed. There's not absolute relaxation. So, relative peace is relative relaxation. Absolute peace is absolute relaxation, which is after having discovered the fullness. Okay, shantim adhigacchati. Therefore, people, when you read these verses, nirahankaraha, nirmamaha, people immediately say, oh, give up I sense, give up sense of possession, give up. That's why we don't want to talk about it. So this jnani has not given up anything. Naturally, his ahankara is resolved. Jnani is free from ahankaraha, nirahankaraha. Free from ahankara, free from the hold of ahankara, free from ego means what? He has got his ahankara. What is ahankara? All the wrong notions he entertained about the self. Look at this. All the erroneous notions entertained about the self are what? Ahankara only. So he's got all the wrong notions about the self, he got them resolved. Therefore what? He's free from ahankara. Once the I sense is resolved, then he can naturally, the sense of possession also, the possessiveness also, the sense of possession, mamakaraha, the sense of mine, okay, mineness, my sense and I sense, both I sense is resolved, ahankara is resolved means, where I must be there for one to have my, no? Then to have declensions. I, me, my, by me, all those things. I itself has been resolved. Other case forms, vibhaktayaha cannot be there. Karakas, how can there be? So, mamakaraha also will be resolved along with ahankaraha. So, nirmamo nirahankaraha sashantimadhigacchati vihaya kamanya sarvan yaha puman charati. So, this person who moves about, how? Sarvan kaman vihaya. Vihaya kaman yas sarvan pumams charati nispruhaha. He is moving about how nispruhaha, completely free from any craving and longing. Why? It is possible for one to be a nispruhaha if one has got his ahankara resolved. Spruha will be there if there is ahankara. If there is ahankara, there will be mamakara. Sense, no, my sense will be there. Sense of possession will be there. See, physically you are not giving up anything. You have to say my body, my book, my bank account, my money, my house. You can say that. This transactional world, you have to have relatively identity with the given body maintenance complex. You have to have relative identity with the possessions also. No problem. But you know very clearly, they are all mithya. They all have an end, and they are all there in keeping with the karma phalam, in keeping with the order. It's not to talk about, no, I am not the body, so I don't have any possessions, so having banquet is wrong. Not like that. Because many people have a very wrong understanding. It's all mind must be clear. Mind must be free. Physically, transactions must be going on. But you can see this change. No? First, when you do Shravanam and Mananam, what you have is the big transformation. This knowledge. First, you are Ajnani. Then, study Shastra with the help of the teacher. Do Shravanam. Shravanam, done for length of time, gives you knowledge. Then again, punashravanam becomes a mananam. The second time only, after shravanam, see, during shravanam, no questions should be asked. No queries should not be inquired. You may have, keep them all aside. Okay, then next shravanam, understand now, when you redo the things, you see, slowly queries will resolve. Then mananam. Then what you have is cognitive change. Change born of cognition. When do you have? After Shravanam and Mananam. Then you have Prajna. Because whole is a transformation. It is not like any academic pursuit. Definitely not like 3-year degree course, 4-year degree course. Understand? It's a whole transformation. Then Nididhyasana, you have Sthita Prajna. Samanya Prajna, then Sthita Prajna. Initially, there is no Prajna at all. Understand? This is what, so Yaha Puman, Kaman Sarvan Vihaya Charati, Nisprahaha, Nirahankaraha, Nirmamaha, Saha Shanti Madhikachati. How can such a person be restless and agitated? See, any turbulence, agitation is due to lack, due to sense of inadequacy. That's all. One sentence I can tell you. Inadequacy, sense of inadequacy centered on I. Sense of inadequacy is equal to turbulence, restlessness, agitation, fear, all other problems. If the sense of inadequacy is resolved, then there is peace. That's all. So sense of inadequacy cannot get rid of sense of inadequacy by accomplishing something, No. By discovering fullness which is already there. Without having discovered fullness, how much ever you accomplish, the inadequate person plus accomplishment is equal to inadequate person. Inadequate person plus more accomplishments is equal to inadequate person. Understand now? Inadequate person plus more accomplishments, okay, Nobel Prize, is equal to inadequate person. 10 postdoctoral fellowships is equal to inadequate person. Understand now? Fullness plus accomplishments is equal to fullness. Fullness minus accomplishments is equal to fullness. Fullness, nil accomplishment is equal to fullness. Understand? Saha shantim adhigacchati.
Yesha brahmi sthitif partha. Yesha brahmi sthitif partha. Nainam prapya vimuhyati. Nainam prapya vimuhyati. Yesha brahmi sthitif partha.
Yesha
brahmi sthitif partha. Nainam prapya vimuhyati. Nainam prapya vimuhyati. Sthitva syam. Sthitva syam. Antakalepi. Antakalepi. Brahma nirvanam ruchati.
Brahma nirvanam ruchati.
Yesha brahmi sthitif partha.
Yesha brahmi sthitif partha.
Nainam prapya vimuhyati.
Nainam prapya vimuhyati.
Sthitva syamantakalepi.
Sthitva syamantakalepi.
Brahma nirvanam ruchati.
Brahma nirvanam ruchati.
So, hey Partha, Krishna is telling Arjuna, hey Partha, this is the sthitihi. This is how Brahman is. Brahmi sthitihi. Brahmi sthitihi means what? One being Brahman. This is what is called one being Brahman. Brahmi sthitihi. State of limitlessness. You know, limitless is not a state, in fact. Understand now? Not even a state, it's a nature. Yesha, sthitihi is a feminine gender word. That is why Yesha. Yesha, this indeed is the Brahmi sthitihi. This is what is being Brahman. Being Brahman means what? You're already Brahman. One should recognize everything is being Brahman, but discovering oneself being Brahman, then you are Brahman. If you know you're Brahman, you are Brahman. If you do not know you are not Brahman, also you are Brahman, but you are as though not Brahman. Understand now? Isn't it? Yesha Brahmi sthitihi. What is Brahmi sthitihi? Having discovered the truth of Brahman. What is Brahman here? Brahman is the reality which is free from all limitations, all possible limitations. Is Brahman. That which is limitlessly big is the reality. What is big in this universe? What is biggest in this cosmos? If you say big, again a relative adjective, relative term, isn't it? Any adjective is a relative term. Big, if you say Brahman, means that which is big. Big means how big it is. Limitlessly big. Because you have to compare that with something. When you want to talk about something incomparable, something incomparable. Why it is incomparable? Because it's secondless. If there are two things, one can be compared to the other. It is what is there is a secondless reality. The reality being secondless one. Advitiyaha. Advitiya means a secondless reality. Being secondless, it is incomparable. So, it is when you say that which is in secondless. Secondless means non-dual. Secondless, non-dual, only. The only, secondless, now advitiya, advaita, advitiyam vastu, advaitam vastu, ekam vastu. Understand now? Ekam again, we say, we may think of second. That is why we have to say that to make it more emphatic, we don't say one reality. Only reality also may not be very clear. So secondless, advitiya. Non-dual, advaita. Non-dual, secondless, only reality of the whole cosmos. The whole jagat of multifarious forms is manifestation of the only reality. This is a fact. Okay, in discovering this fact, you resolve your sense of inadequacy, your sense of individuality in totality, wherein you become free from limitations. As only non-dual secondary reality is limitlessly big, incomparably limitlessly big, because it has no beginning, time-wise limit, endless and beginningless, changeless, time-wise limitless, and there's no place where it is not so spatially limitless. There's no object which is not pervaded by this consciousness. Therefore, this object is also limitless. Therefore, free from limitations. And if you know this, that Brahman alone is everything. Body is that Brahman. The grossest, you know, whatever externally seen, external to the body, you know, as inert things are that Brahman. Sentient, animate things are also that Brahman. So your physical body, when it is alive, also is Brahman. This dead also is Brahman. Understand now? Brahman is not dead. But this everything is dead and sentient. In animate and inanimate, both are Brahman. So this not only this grass, also subtle things, invisible, subtle things are also Brahman. So your pranas are Brahman, your sense powers are Brahman, powers of sense, organs of actions are Brahman, every thought which arises is Brahman, the order involved in the functions are Brahman, order is Brahman, the knowledge back in the order is Brahman, everything is Brahman. But how are you going to recognize that Brahman? This mind which is trying to know everything, no? Which is available for knowledge within the realm of external world of objects. It has the capacity to discover, no? As long as within a given span of life, given time, and depending upon its capacity, it can discover so many things. But doesn't mean it will resolve the problem of sense of inadequacy. But the same mind, it has to discover the truth of everything, which is the truth of its own body, mind, sense complex, which is available for recognition only as the truth of the mind, that too as the truth of the very I thought. That is the only way. When the very fundamental problem of smallness being centered on I, it becomes resolved. And sense of inadequacy will be resolved. Everything will be resolved. Resolve means such a beautiful word that I don't know how much you appreciate it. Maybe okay, you have to listen. You'll get okay. Shravanam will take care. Shravanam will take care. That's what I'm saying. Shravanam will take care. Say, Sampradaya doesn't allow anything in between. Just keep on listening for length of time. Then after 6 months, 8 months, 1 year, 2 years, you know, nothing goes and then you come and fight with me. But till then, please listen quietly. Know that. So this is what is Brahman. And what is not Brahman here? Where is I? Where is you? Where is he? Where is she? Where is it? Where is that? Grass and subtle and where is it? Everything is Brahman. Recognition of this fact, recognition of the truth, thereby recognition of the fact is what? Brahmi sthitihi. Esha Brahmi sthitihi. Wherein one does not see a second thing other than Brahman. Just understanding. Just understand now. So, assimilated, ascertained vision of the oneness of oneness of reality, the non-duality of reality as one's own self. One's own self means what? As the truth of one's own mind is what? In fact, Brahmi sthitihi. Having resolved the whole jagat, one's own mind, one's own problems, or everything. No, because we don't see anything as a problem at all then. What seems to be a problem is just the one state of mind, manifestation, the notion, isn't it? So, this discovering the fact of everything being Brahman, no, is what? In fact, Brahmi sthitihi. One becoming Brahman. One does not become Brahman. One is already Brahman. But discovering the self being already Brahman is what? Becoming Brahman. Understand now? This is what is Brahmi Sthitihi. Esha Brahmi Sthitihi. Yenam prapya na muhyati. Nainam prapya vimuhyati. Na yenam nainam. Yenam prapya. Yenam Brahmi Sthitim prapya. Having gained this vision. See, never attain Brahman, okay? You never, you, Brahmanam Prapya can't say that. Prapya Brahman also can't say. You never attain Brahman. Understand? You only gain the, you never gain Brahman. You gain the vision of Brahman. Everything being Brahman. You gain the vision of Brahman, thereby resolve everything in Brahman. They say everything is Brahman. Understand, this recognition of the whole Jagat being Brahman. Recognizing the fact of everything being Brahman, having recognized Brahman as the Self, Brahmi Sthitihi, Yenam Sthitim Prapya, having gained this vision, I don't want to say state, okay? Having gained this vision of everything being Brahman, and as having gained the vision of Brahman as the Self, thereby having gained the, recognized the fact of everything being Brahman, Enam Sithim Brahmim Sithim Prapya Na Muhyati. Abba, one does not become deluded at all. No, I had the vision of Brahman, but you know, sometimes I still get some delusions. Sometimes I'm still deluded. Hey, that is not possible. You have not yet gained the vision, that's all. You are not yet assimilated. There can't be any delusion. So one who has attained this Brahmi Sthitihi, I mean one who has gained the vision of Brahman, this is what is having the vision, having gained the vision of Brahman, having gained the vision of the fact of everything being Brahman, Brahmi Sthitihi, Enam Prapya, having gained this, Na Muhyati, one does not become deluded at all. There is no lack of discriminative understanding of what is satyam, what is mithya, what is empirically real, what is absolutely real, what is subjectively real. What is very clear. So, if a person can look at what is subjectively real as subjectively real, one doesn't overvalue what is subjectively real as, you know, absolutely real. And what is empirically real is understood as empirically real. You don't need to change what is empirically real as, oh, I don't want it to be. You don't need to change what is empirically real. What is empirically real cannot be changed. Empirically real. What is subjectively real, subjectively real. But what is absolutely real, you have understood, you can resolve the empirically, what is empirically real and objectively real, everything in what is absolutely real. That's all. No? Then there's no delusion. There's no mohaha. Nashto moha. Arjuna will say last. Nashtaha mohaha. 18th chapter only he'll say that. Moha has gone. So here, Enam prapya na muhyati. Yesha brahmi sthiti partha. Nainam prapya vimuhyati. Sthitva syamanta kalepi. Brahma nirvanam rachati. So asyam sthitva, so having gained the vision of the oneness of reality, having gained the vision of the Self being Brahman, having gained the vision of the fact of everything being Brahman, one does not get deluded at all. And having become, one does not get deluded at all means what? One remains steadfast in this vision. Because once gained vision, once gained does not get lost. You had the vision but I lost it. I knew very thoroughly some few years ago, now I forgot. Okay, all these things are possible if it is something, you know, like how to make Italian dressing or something, it is part of making. What are the ingredients to put and all that? But here nothing, you cannot forget at all. You never forget. Never gets lost. How can you lose yourself? Understand now? this is the highest of the awareness. Greatest of the highest form of awareness is what? Recognizing the self being awareness, which is Brahman, the truth of everything. That is why Yenam Prapya na vimuhyati and Asyam Stitva Asyam Stitva. Now having gained the vision, until Prarabdha gets exhausted. Look at this. This jnani doesn't need to have any pressure of wanting to finish his life soon and all that. He just relaxed. He doesn't care, okay? He just lives his Prarabdha. People now ask what have gotten Dala Samadhi, that Samadhi, this Samadhi. Why any Samadhi? All precious. Just be, Bhagavan has blessed this. Bhagavan means the law and order has ordained a given span of life. Whether you want to go, you don't want to go, span of life has been ordained. Just quietly live it. Asyam Stitva. Understand now? So living is Prarabdha as long as ordained. Even if you want to live after that, it's not possible. You want to try to undo that life before that. But some people have confused also. Attain Jala Samadhi, that Samadhi, this Samadhi. So here just quite, because why? There's no pressure. So relaxed, reveling in fullness, which is luxury, reveling in, and so now having this luxury, reveling in fullness of the oneness of self. So, Asyam Stitva, Antakale Api. Now, Brahma Nirvanam Richati. Why Brahma Nirvanam Richati? Richati means attains. Richati. Kim Richati? Nirvanam Richati. Brahma Nirvanam Richati. Here Brahman is what? Brahma Nirvana means attains moksha. Becomes free. Attains limitlessness of the reality. What does it mean, attaining limitlessness of the reality, attaining freedom here? Nirvanam is Swarup of Brahman. Again, Nirvanam means people say nakedness. Okay, another wrong thing. This is another meaning, okay. Brahma Nirvana means becomes free, becomes Brahman. Becomes Brahman means what? Becomes free. Becomes limitlessness. Attains the limitlessness of Brahman. It means what? Recognizing the self being Brahman, thereby recognizing the fullness being the nature of one's own reality is what? Becoming free. See, here only in terms of nothing attained physically here. Brahma Nirvanam Richati means one attains the vision of the nature of the self being limitlessness. Thereby being free. Recognition of the self being already free from limitations is what? Recognizing the self being already free from limitations. Self being of the nature of limitlessness is attaining freedom. Understand? And here, Brahma Nirvanam Richati, that means what? After having lived this life, Asyam Stitva, Antakale, when the life comes to an end, the body falls. Why? For a jnani's body should not fall. Anybody's body will fall. Should fall. That is law of, according to what? Law of conservation. We have to do that. That's the law. Everything which comes into being has to fall apart. Isn't it? Apart from consciousness, everything is put together only. Everything is combination and permutation of many things. So it has to get disintegrated. That is the order. That is the natural law and order. So, the Prarabdha, that's why, in keeping with the law of karma, in keeping with the universal law and order, as per the, whatever the span of life is ordained, that becomes lived, the Prarabdha gets over, the body falls. What is the falling of the body? The sukshma leaving the physical body, sthula shariram is the fall of the body. Body fall, body cannot stand by itself. It has to fall flat like a log of wood when this sukshma leaves. Antakale. Then what happens to sukshma? I told you earlier, the punch 15 are the subtle aspects, subtle factors. Now pancha karma indriyani, pancha jnana indriyani, pancha pranaha, all the 15 resolve along with the mind. They cannot exist independent of the mind. The mind is there, the 15 will be alive. This mind is not there, the 15 will resolve. That is why this 15 you don't need to worry about. These 15 will just resolve by themselves. Don't ask me how and why and all that. You will understand by yourself. How? If the mind resolves, the 15 will resolve. So total sukshma resolves. What do you mean by the mind resolving? Having all the desires resolved. Desires resolve naturally. Why do the desires resolve? Desires themselves are expression of the sense of the pressure of the needs. So desires do not arise because the needs are not there. Why the needs are not there? Because sense of inadequacy is not there. Why? Because there is fullness. How there is fullness is attained and not, it has been discovered, recognized. As what? That is the nature of the reality. Being full is the nature of the reality, isn't it? Like I told you, H2O need not do anything to be full of the ocean. To fill the ocean, to be full of the ocean, it doesn't need to do any karma. That is how it is. That means what? That is the nature. Being full is the nature. Being full is equal to fullness is the nature, isn't it? Being full is equal to fullness. Fullness is being limitless. Being limitless is limitlessness. Being limitless is being happy. Happiness. Therefore, here we say this, so that is the nature. One recognizes what is the reality, what is Satyam of the whole Jagat, available for recognition as the Chit. What is Chit? The Chaitanyam. What is Chaitanyam? See then who the discover the knower. Who the knower is? I. Who this I is? I is, not I am, okay? I is awareness, chit. What is this chit? Chit is satyam, existence, sat. What is this chit which is sat? Sat is the fullness. Okay? Sat is fullness, sat is the limitlessness, sat is, understand now, the chit which is the sat of the whole is of the nature of fullness. Limitlessness. The satya which is not filled, pervaded by this. Therefore, discovering this, discover this, then again focusing, and so contemplation is something, this is not very academic. It is very different from going to the college, listening for some time, studying, even that involves great effort. I'm not saying no. No, understanding, writing exams and getting through and getting grades also, A, B, C, D and all that. That is not here. This is not academic pursuit. Understand now. It is something you understand, more you focused, shravanam, then you will start seeing slowly the shravanam. When you continuously do, you will see that the query is being resolved, which is bananam. There's prajna. And once prajna is there, and naturally you'll be going to the prajna. You'll be with that. Try to be with that. Contemplation becomes natural. Then in due course of time you have that sthita prajna. Isn't it? So Yesha, one who recognizes this, this is what? This having recognized this oneness of the non-duality of the secondless reality is what in fact Brahmi Sthitihi. They were seeing everything as Brahman. And having gained this vision, one doesn't get deluded at all. So, Asyam Sthitva Antakale, then Therefore, one discovered fullness means sense of inadequacy naturally resolves. That is why we never say there's no question of giving up anything, getting rid of anything. That just not there. It must be there here to push it aside. No, it is not even there means what will you push it aside? What does Jnani give up? Who is giving up here? Who is the one who is giving up? What is being given up? Tell me. Nothing is given up. Resolving is different, isn't it? You suppose one wave comes and it gives up the wave's form, just pushes aside or what? To know it is a water. It's all in terms of knowledge. Understand? So nothing is given up. Jnani does not give up anything. He just becomes free means what? Free from the notions he had about things and the self. Isn't it? That without giving up anything, he resolves all of them. That is why Shravanam itself has to be understood very well first. So, enam prapya asyam stitva, having remaining in this state, remaining in this vision, whole life, no? Then when the paradha gets over, I told you the mind resolves. Because there's fullness, there's a sense of inadequacy has been resolved, therefore all other problems caused by sense of inadequacy are resolved, desires are resolved. Understand now? Therefore, the mind, this shanti madhigachati, you already seen the quiet, calm, serene. Understand now, the mind which revels in fullness, that mind, after the paradha gets over, paradha also is over now. Even as a jivan mukta, he is free from sense of doership and enjoyership, he is free from agami and sanchita. Paradha alone is lived. After the body falls now, after the sukshma leaves the physical body, fall of the physical body, the paradha also is not there. Then what is there now? So mind also will resolve. The mind leaves, mind resolves. Mind resolves, then all 15 plus 15 number looks big, okay? 15, I think. Everything will resolve simultaneously. Sukshma also gone. So what is there now? Where is this Jnani? Brahma Nirvanam Rachati. Understand now? He attains the limitlessness of Brahman. That means what? He attains freedom. He attains not even Jivan Mukti, now Videha Mukti. He becomes one with Brahman. Becomes one with Brahman means what? Doesn't become one. Again, it's the question of becoming also is not right. Becomes one with Brahman means as though it was away, as though becomes one. When the pot is there, pot itself is sitting in the Mahakasha, but the Ghatakasha is there. As though then you say there's a Ghatakasha, pot space, and there's a big space. And the pot is broken, and you say this Ghatakasha has become Mahakasha. The pot space has become the Akasha space. A pot space cannot become space. No way. Pot space was already part of the space. Isn't it? As though becoming. See, Jnani also, Brahman Nirvanam Ruchati means he was already Brahman. Understand? And here Brahman itself is said to be Nirvanam Brahma. Nirvanam is said to be the nature of Brahman. What is Nirvanam? Limitlessness. Why? Because limitlessness means what? We say, why Brahman is said to be of the nature of limitlessness? Nirvanam means, see, that anything which can be covered. Uncoverability is the nature of Brahman. Brahman cannot be covered by anything. That is why nakedness is said to be the nature of Brahman. Naked means what? We should not mistake it like. Understand why Brahman cannot be covered by anything? We say here, anything which is spatially limitless can be covered. Anything which is spatially limitless can be covered by something. Suppose this is my hand, I can cover it. Look at this. Space limitless. Chair can be covered, the room can be covered, house can be covered, even the mountain we can get some big loads and loads and loads of thick cloth and we can cover it. Anything which is spatially limited can be covered. No? Spatially limitless thing cannot be covered. Can we ever cover the space? Because all pervasive, isn't it? So what about the reality which even accommodates the space? Which pervades even the space? All accommodative, okay? Reality, the awareness, Brahman, is accommodative of the all accommodative space. All pervasive reality. Consciousness. What can cover consciousness? Tell me. Understand? Nothing can cover it. So a spatially limitless thing can be covered, but Brahman being spatially limitless, not only spatially limitless, time-wise limitless, object-wise limitless, thereby spatially limitless. It cannot be covered by anything. One thing. Second thing, there must be something other than Brahman for wanting to be covered by something. My hand is here. Cloth I can take and cover it. Cloth is different. What is covered is different from what is covering. The covering and the covered must be two things. What is covered, what can be covered is different from what is covering. Isn't it? Two things must be there. Like can wave cover the cover H2O? Can ocean cover H2O? Why? The very wave and ocean are H2O. They cannot cover. Similarly, here everything here is awareness. The second thing, there may be two things for one to be covered by another. What is there is only secondless non-dual reality when you say, what is that only, what can cover this only secondless non-dual reality? It cannot be covered by anything. Two reasons, understand now? Therefore, nirvanam. What is nirvanam? Not being, listen now. That which cannot be covered by anything is nirvanam. Why? There is no second thing to cover that reality. Second thing, that is not spatially limited to be covered by something. Well, what is nirvanam? Nirvanam is equal to Brahman. Nirvanam is another word for Brahman. Understand? Reality, to say the reality, the limitless reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness, no, which can't be covered by anything, is said to be what? Nirvanam. We don't even say Brahma Nirvanam. Nirvanam means limitlessness. Nirvanam is equal to reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness, which cannot be covered. Is it clear now? Nirvanam is another synonym of the word Brahman. You can say Brahma Nirvanam means what? Rich Brahma Richati, Nirvanam Richati, Brahma Nirvanam Richati, you can say. Nirvanam is another synonym of the word Brahman. Is it clear now? Brahma Nirvanam Richati. When the pot is broken, pot space, Astho becomes one with the whole space, which is already space. Similarly, this individual whose mind is enlightened, and thereby one who is after the fall of the body, whose mind is resolved, the body disintegrated, the jnani also what now? Becomes already Brahman, becomes as the, understand now, becoming Brahman. Brahma nirvanam richati. But nirvanam now, that's why Brahman, in India we have very many names. Ekambaraha, Ekambaranataha, Digambaraha. Eva ambar, ambaram means space. Ambaram also means dress. Look at ambaram, the word ambaram has two meanings. Huh? Space and also dress. Ekam ambaram yasya saha ekambaraha. Ekameva ambaram. What? Only cover, only dress for Bhagavan is what? The one who has the only dress of space. Ekambaraha. Dikeva ambaram. All four, eight quarters are ambaram. What? Because to say all pervasiveness of Brahman, all eight quarters of, no? Are there as the cover, which cover Brahman means what? Digambaraha. All directions are dressed for whom? He is Digambaraha, Ekambaraha. In fact, there is no dress. That's why we say. Why no dress? Undressed means what? Cannot dress. Understand? One cannot be covered. What is the reason? There is no second thing to cover. And it is not spatially limited to be covered.
Yesha Brahmi Sthiti Partha.
Yesha Brahmi Sthiti Partha.
Nainam prapya vimuhyati, nainam prapya vimuhyati, sthitva syamanta kalepi, sthitva syamanta kalepi, brahma nirvanam rachati, brahma nirvanam rachati. Om. Harihi Om, Harihi Om, Tatsat, Tatsat.
It's a Mahamantra. Om, Tatsat itself is Mahamantra. Om is name of the Lord, the whole, sound symbol of the Lord. Tatsat, that reality is the only truth. Okay, Tat Brahma Satyam. That Brahma Satyam, everything else is Mithya, which is also Brahman. Brahman alone is there. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su.
Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su.
Upanishad Su.
Upanishad Su.
Brahma Vidyayam.
Brahma Vidyayam.
Yoga Shastre.
Yoga Shastre.
Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambade.
Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambade.
Sankhya Yoga Nama.
Sankhya Yoga Nama.
Dvitiyodhyayah.
Dvitiyodhyayah.
So this is the second, Dvitiyaha Adhyayaha. I am Dvitiyaha Adhyayaha, the second chapter, entitled as Sankhya Yoga, now which is Yoga Shastra. Now in, where is it in? It is in Bhagavad Gita. What is this Bhagavad Gita? Which is Brahma Vidya. Why it is Bhagavad Gita? Another name of Bhagavad Gita is what? Brahma Vidya. Why is it called Brahma Vidya? Because knowledge of Brahman. Why? Subject matter of Bhagavad Gita is what? Brahma Vidya. Bhagavad Gita reveals the nature of reality, thereby by revealing the nature of the self. Thereby it helps you arrive at the nature of reality. It was called Brahma Vidya. And also called Yoga Shastram. Why it's called Yoga Shastram? Because to have the vision of this reality, which is revealed by the Upanishad, which is revealed by Bhagavad Gita, one has to be mentally prepared, mentally ready. One has to be mentally pure and steady. And to have mental purity and steadiness, antakarna naischalyam and antakarna shuddhihi, in order to be qualified for this vision, one has to live a life of dharma. One has to live a life of karma yoga. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita also teaches the values, the value of values, thereby helps one to live a life of values, live a life of karma yoga. It prepares the mind for the jnanam, therefore it is called yoga shastram. It prepares you for jnanam, then it gives you, blesses you with jnanam. Because it gives you the knowledge of Brahman, it's called Brahma Vidya. It prepares your mind for this knowledge by emphasizing repeatedly the value of values. You know, that is called Yoga Shastram. Understand now? Yoga Shastram, Brahma Vidya. This Bhagavad Gita. And this Bhagavad Gita is as great as Upanishads. Bhagavad Gita is not Upanishads, not Shruti, but Smriti. But still it is considered to be what? As great as Upanishads. As important and as significant as Upanishads. Why? Because subject matter of Upanishads is subject matter of Bhagavad Gita, but elaborately commented and discussed. Understand? Subject matter is Vishayaha. Upanishadaha Vishayaha Eva Gitayaha Vishayaha. Therefore what? It is as great as Upanishads. Therefore Bhagavad Gita su Upanishads. Why not Bhagavad Gita Yam? Because respect. Whenever you have great reverence for something, and you have to use the word plural word. In India, whenever we talk to each other, so we never address second person, no, singular. Even if I talk to one person, you, I have to always use the plural form of you. No way to express my respect. And you can date in regular conversations. We always use plural form of you to address a second, not singular you.
It's the same in French.
Yeah. But in English language, singular for plural, everything you have to use only one word, you. Isn't it? And here also, Bhagavad Gita yam would have been enough. But Bhagavad Gita su, plural. In Bhagavad Gita, to say that. Upanishadsu, again plural. Why? Because reverence. Arihi Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishadsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre. And this Yoga Shastram, which is Brahma Vidya, which is Bhagavad Gita, which has greatest Upanishad, subject matter of which is none other than subject matter of Upanishads, this is given in the conversation, dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna Arjuna Samvadaha. Not Vitandavadaha, not Vivadaha, it is Samvadaha. Why Samvadaha? There is total the focused. Without doubting, without questioning. Question always asked after whenever Krishna finished. Okay? Now if you see Kahumi tells Krishna questions. Arjuna questions. Understand? So here Krishna Arjuna Samvadaha. Samvadaha means where the person who's talking, the person who's listening, they both, okay, there's no arguments, there's no disagreements, there is no doubt. Understand? They trust, total trust in both the people. Then they have, one person is talking, listening, with 100% genuine interest in the listener. The person listens to the teacher with the 200% trust in the teacher. Then there is Samvada. So Krishna Arjuna Yor Madhye, Jataha Samvadaha. So Krishna Arjuna Samvade Sankhya Yoga Nama Dvitiyaha Adhyaya. Okay? So next chapter is Karma Yoga. Am I very fast, Jahidiji? Do you find it very fast? Okay? Am I talking slowly? Should I talk slowly? Okay. Please tell me. Sometimes I get excited and I talk fast and want to finish it. But I try to be slow hereafter, okay? So here, the third chapter is entitled as Karma Yoga. And the subject matter of the third chapter is action, performance of action. So Karma Yoga. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha.
Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha.
Karma Yoga Nama.
Karma Yoga Nama.
Tritiyodhyayah.
Tritiyodhyayah.
Here, the chapter begins with a question. Arjuna asked the question, Krishna talked about, gave an answer. And here, one thing he remembered very well. Arjuna remembered the 11th verse meaning. Now what is that? Panditaha na anushochanti. Wise people do not grieve. That means what? Whoever grieves is not wise. Whoever grieves is not wise. No, even if the person has studied Shastram, studied this, studied Bhagavad Gita, studied Upanishads, you might have studied all of them, you will not become wise. Oh, that means I don't need to study Upanishads or what to become wise. No, no, no. By studying only you can become wise. But by just merely by studying you cannot become wise. That means what? Shravanam, mananam itself is not the completion of study. It is not complete with just by shravanam. Without shravanam and mananam, there is no study at all. Shravanam and mananam itself does not make the study complete. Study becomes complete only when you become, when you do shravanam and mananam are followed by nididhyasana. Understand? Arjuna has done some shravanam. Some shravanam, okay, he has to do lot of shravanam. And here, so he remembered this very well. Okay, panditaha na anushochanti. Okay, wise people do not grieve. So whoever grieves is not wise. Therefore, all that I have to become wise. That means I need jnanam. Knowledge makes one wise, isn't it? Knowledge of reality makes one wise. So I had to be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. So to be committed to the pursuit of knowledge, what I should do then? I should give up all my other responsibilities. This is the mentality of many people. Many people think, okay, I had to be spiritual means I had to give up all other pursuits. Had to give the pursuit of artha, pursuit of kama, come pursuit of even now. Then just I had to be committed only to the pursuit of knowledge. And to be committed to the pursuit of knowledge to the exclusion of everything else means what? I had to become a vividisha sannyasi. Sannyasi means what? I had just wear some saffron robes. Get diksha from some swami. Then I can go and study Shastram and all that. Isn't it? Then why should I do karma then? If knowledge is the only means of moksha. Because moksha is not something to be attained. Moksha is my choiceless ultimate end. Moksha is something to be, choiceless. So I need to attain, and here I cannot attain it because moksha is already there in the form of limitlessness as the very nature of reality. Therefore it is something to be discovered and known. Knowing is attaining. So all that I need to do is I need to know. Why should I do something? Listen, then why should I do means, why should I do any karma at all? I don't want to do any karma. Okay? So he has very fancy idea. He goes and tells Krishna now. If jnanam alone is going to free me from bondage, then why should I do any karma at all? Krishna says, my God, all the way I talked to make him active, to make him do the karma. Now he is again trying to escape from karma. He wants to escape from responsibilities and duties. Krishna has to talk elaborately again. Even though he made very clear, one has to live a life of karma yoga, wherein one has to do all the karmas, all his duties, without shirking responsibilities. Everything, nothing can you give up. You have to do everything, but the attitude, you have to change. Isn't it? Because that is the only way, only by living a clean life for a length of time, one can be naturally prepared for this knowledge. Isn't it? That is what is karma, giving non-performance of karma, or giving up karma, not doing karma, in no way is going to help one to attain moksha, to discover moksha. Isn't it? But therefore he has to do karma because he is not at ready for that. He is not simply going and taking sannyasa and then studying shastra. Are you ready for even if you start studying? So studying shastra is okay, but must be along with the living a life of karma yoga. God has to be ready. Why should you be in a hurry? Then you are not going to attain anything. If you give up karma without being ready for jnanam, then you will end up nowhere. So better do karma with the proper attitude as yoga along with the pursuit of knowledge. You know, whereby you will be prepared for jnanam. And it will serve as indirect means for moksha, which is jnana. Therefore, he has to teach now. So Arjuna asked this question, Arjuna, why should I do karma at all if knowledge alone is the only means for moksha? Wow, all that I want is only moksha, and which is choiceless. And for that moksha, all that I need is only knowledge of the reality, knowledge of the self. Then if knowledge of the self alone is moksha means, then why should I do any karma at all? That is the question Arjuna had. Now Krishna is going to give a beautiful answer, which we will see in the next class. Okay? Arjuna uvacha.
Arjuna uvacha.
What's the question?
Jayasi.
Jayasi chet karmanaste. Jayasi chet karmanaste. Mata buddhir janardana. Mata buddhir janardana. Tat kim karmani ghore maam. Tatkim karmani ghore maam. Niyojayasi keshava. Niyojayasi keshava. Jayasi chet karmanaste.
Jayasi
chet karmanaste. Mata buddhir janardana. Mata buddhir janardana. Tat kim karmani ghore maam. Tat kim karmani ghore maam. Niyojayasi keshava.
Niyojayasi keshava.
He Keshava, kim ghore karmani maam niyojayasi. Ghore karmani niyojayasi. Anto samanya karmani. Not even ordinary work. You involve me in, hey Krishna, now you are telling me yuddha yujyasva, uttishta, yuddha yujyasva. You are telling me get up and get ready for fighting, do my duty, etc. No, you make me involved. You involve me, niyojayas, you appoint me, you involve me in what? Ghora karma. The terrible act of killing. Fighting against the people, isn't it? Ghora karma. Fighting and participating in battle is not an easy joke. Not an interesting karma. It's a ghora karma. So, ghore karmani maam niyojayasi. Kim, Krishna, what is this? You involve me in ghora karma. Why do you involve me in, understand now? Why do you appoint me? Why do you involve me in this terrible act of fighting, participating in battle? Which involves killing. Ghora karma. Ghora. Now, ghora karma. So fighting is ghora karma. Participating in battle is a ghora karma. Because it involves bloodshed, it involves killing, it involves taking away lives of people. It is a ghora karma. There's no worse karma than killing any living being, isn't it? So here, ghora karma, battle means ghora karma. It involves bloodshed, killing and pain and the lots of things. So any war is ghora karma. Bombing is ghora karma, isn't it? So ghora karma ni kim mam niyojayasi. Why do you involve me in this ghora karma? Act of fighting against people. Here, take it as this. The whole life is a battle. The life of battle. Life is a battle here. And here we had to live fighting against desirable, undesirable situations. We had to progress. Ghore karmani makim mam niyojayasi Keshava. Why do you involve me in this? He says, jayasi chet. Chet means yadi, if. Yadi comes in the beginning of the sentence. Chet comes in the middle of the sentence. Kim jayasi means it is superior. What is superior here? Jayasi, it is better. What is better here? Jayasi chet. Jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir buddhihi. Buddhihi here means knowledge. Buddhihi jayasi. Knowledge is superior. Knowledge is better. Means, okay, for moksha. Buddhihi jayasi chet. Than what? Karmanaha. Buddhihi karmanaha jayasi chet. Yadi buddhihi karmanaha jayasi. Tarhi, na? If knowledge is superior to karma. Why knowledge is superior to karma? Karma does not liberate. Karma cannot liberate. Performance of any amount of duties, any amount of, food, any amount of disease, etc., will not liberate, will not free you from bondage. Knowledge alone will free one from bondage. Therefore, knowledge is superior. Karma is inferior. Isn't it? Jayasi. Jayan jeshtana. What is more exalted than karma is jnanam. Buddhihi here means jnanam. Yadi buddhihi karmanaha jayasi. Karmanaha buddhihi jayasi chet. Jayasi. Mata, if it is considered by you, hey Krishna, mata chet. Karmanaha buddhihi jayasi mata chet. If, hey Krishna, if in your consideration, in your opinion, in your view, look at this, in your view, because you are a person of vision, understand, in your view, in your opinion, in your vision, in your understanding, mata, in your consideration, mata means opined. Okay? If it has been opined, if it is opined by you that knowledge is superior to karma. You said you've been talking the whole second chapter, talk to me now. You made it very clear. Freedom is knowledge is freedom. Karma binds, knowledge liberates. Karma is karma yoga liberates. He doesn't remember that very well. Okay. Karma binds, knowledge liberates. That is very clear. But what he doesn't remember? Karma performed with proper attitude as yoga prepares the mind for knowledge, thereby indirectly it serves indirect means for moksha. What Krishna said that doesn't remember. Maybe he remembers, he wants to know. But Krishna, Arjuna asks the question, he clears our doubts. Buddhihi jnanam Sreshtam. Okay, Sreshtatam. Jnanam buddhihi jayasi. Then what? Karmanaha. Buddhihi karmanaha jayasi. Iti te mata chet. Now, jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir. He is calling, hey Janardana, O Krishna, tat kim, then tarhi tat kim, then okay, tarhi kimartam, how does he say, tat kim karmani ghore mam, then why do you involve me in this terrible act of battle, fighting against, listen now, Goraka, involved in this terrible act of participating in this battle. Tat kim karmani ghore mam. Tat kim Krishna Keshava mam ghore karmani niyojayasi. Why do you make me do? Why do you want me to do this karma? Why do you want me to go and participate in this battle? Why do you want me to fight against my cousins? Why do you want me to fight now? Why do you want me to do now anything at all? Why don't you ask me to go and study Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita? That's what me means. Okay? Very clear? And this one word, Janardanaha and Keshavaha, two names of the Lord Krishna, has too many names. And one name is Keshavaha, and Keshavaha, because here both words in vocative case. Keshavaha means because he is called Keshi Nishudanaha, the destroyer of the demon called Keshi. Okay, this word is called Keshavaha. Actually, another word of meaning also is there. And Janardana is such a beautiful word. Janan Ardayati iti Janardanaha. One meaning. Another meaning is Janaihi Ardyate iti Janardanaha. And understand, one who is sought after by people for anything, anything is called Janardanaha. And one who punishes people, remaining as the very law in keeping with the karma, you know, is Janardanaha. So Bhagavan being manifest as the law and order is implied by the word Janardanaha. And anyway, I'll explain the word next class. It needs some explanation. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.